much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you ready? Because I want you to pay attention. This is the beginning of something.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's the hardest beat. This is the hardest beat anybody's ever heard. It's made out of gunshots. Gunshots on a beat.
But you ever hear harder than that?
About to make these rifles burst. Taking off our shirts. About to make these rifles burst. Taking off our shirts.
Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe.
And now. When I was a kid, I could never get up the rope in gym class. So this is my rope.
Our feature presentation.
What? The pool is his rope.
This is my rope?
Right?
Here's the thing about that. Unless it's a rope, it's not a rope.
No, you're right.
It's just what I'm saying.
I think that what he was saying, and who was that? That was
Louis Anderson.
I think what he was saying is he couldn't climb the rope in gym class, but he can walk the steps up to the diving board on Celebrity Splash.
And fall in the pool.
I think that's what
pool.
He was saying. I see.
Yeah, and fall in the pool. So he was saying I wasn't able to accomplish my dreams as a kid, but now I can, because look at me.
Yeah, because I've gotten so much better.
Anybody can climb steps. I'm just saying. All right, let's. Good morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 17th of April.
How did we let Beer Mug back in? I thought we solved that problem yesterday.
No, he just went home sick.
Jesus. Every time I feel like... Yeah. Every time I feel like we got the ants out of the studio, they come right back in.
And feeling better, by the way.
He's probably going to live?
Not only live, he's going to do a lot of talking.
Yeah. Got to find an exterminator or something. There must be some way to stop this infestation. Hey, this is how you want to start your day. There's a new public service announcement that is one of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life. The problem they are addressing, according to UNICEF, is that there are – how many people are there in India these days, Lisa? It's well over a billion, right?
Yes.
Well over a billion, yeah. Yes. Over 620 million Americans each day do what that is harmful to the environment and a public safety hazard?
Fart.
Close. Poop in the street.
Yay!
No.
There's very little indoor plumbing in India. As you know, India is a country of extremes with lots of very wealthy people and a substantial middle class, but then hundreds of millions of very poor people who don't have indoor toilets.
Yep.
They poop in the street, out in the open, every single day. 620 million Indians.
I was talking backstage at April Foolishness to Eddie Ift, who had just come from India, and he described that. He said,
"Oh my god!" And he was in areas like that.
Yeah, you just walk down the street, and there's somebody just doing their business,
just squatting
right there in the middle of the street.
So the campaign is called the Poo Party, and the song is called "Poo to Loo." Now, "loo" is an expression for folks who aren't familiar with it from the British Empire that means toilet. So the idea of the campaign is take your poo to the loo.
Right.
Well, do they have a loo to poo in?
Well, I mean, that seems like that's the breakdown of this whole campaign to me, is you can tell people all day long to take the poo to loo, but if they don't have a loo to take their poo, then they can't.
No.
They can't do it. But they're sure going to want to when they hear the song.
I already don't like it.
That's,
oh, come on. That's the beginning of the PSA?
That's the little kid who's waking up in his bed. That's his alarm clock, and he's farting. So he needs to poop, and he runs outside. And, of course, he's not allowed to poop in the street anymore if he takes this message to heart. So he's got to look for a toilet.
First thing in the morning, what do I see? A pile of staring at me. I close my eyes, I step away. No matter where I go, there's no getting away.
Now, it's already sounded like something you might have seen at Coachella this week.
I couldn't love this more, because you know that those are probably, you know, semi-professional singers. And they've got a sheet in front of them that says, take the poo to the loo. And they're trying to not laugh.
And they are making it work.
It's got a good beat. I can dance to it.
It's a little bit infectious. Honestly, I've heard worse songs on Kiss FM.
I step out on the street. What do I smell? That stinky to high hell. I hold my breath. I step away. But everywhere I go, there's no getting away.
So in this video, he's
video.
Oh yeah,
yes.
He's walking through the street, and there's little piles of poop on the street that he's trying to avoid, and in some cases stepping in, getting stuck to his shoe, and then all the – it's so surreal. It's such a drug trip that you really have to see it. We must tweet this out and post this on our Facebook page. And eventually what happens is all of the little piles of poop, they start heading off in a direction, and they're all zipping down the street, and there's just thousands and thousands and thousands of them, and they're heading toward this enormous jewel-encrusted toilet.
Oh.
And then they're all climbing up the sides of the toilet. It's just – it's really – one of the craziest things you've ever seen in your life.
It's trying to go to the loo itself.
That's right. The poop is taking itself to the loo. Yes. Please enjoy more of the song. It's a pretty good song, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
except for the poo and the loo part, it's a pretty good song.
Considering the topic, it could have been worse.
The singing and the production and the beat and everything is actually pretty entertaining.
Wow.
And then at the end, the poop finally makes it to the giant jewel-encrusted toilet, and it climbs up the side, and then the lid closes, and it flushes, and all these fireworks go off, and the crowd is ecstatic, and everybody's so happy. I can't imagine that people who do not have indoor plumbing are... maybe have internet. I can't imagine that they're even going to get this message or see this video. Can you?
That they'll watch the video and then they go, you know what? I should stop pooping in the street. I didn't think of that.
Where is the giant loo? I'll go there.
Exactly.
That's what they're thinking.
If they can find it. By the way, 620 million Americans, excuse me, Indians pooping in the open every day, dumping more than 143 million pounds of solid human waste.
Mm. Wow.
And putting the public at risk for life-threatening infection, diseases, and epidemics. Oh, there's the crowd. They're so happy.
Fireworks.
So there you go. So a very successful campaign taking your poo to the loo here. So
that is strong.
So you're welcome.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean, shall we?
I disagree with the substance of your statement, but I can't argue with the way you put it.
Thank you. Brand new internet roundup.
Okay.
Speaking of funny videos, we have the last time you were in a fight, we want to hear your stories. Some people, they fight all the time. Some people, your whole life, you can go without getting in a fight.
I think most people are done with fist fights by the time they get into, certainly into college, I would think, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
You certainly
most
hope
people,
so, yeah.
Yeah.
Bean and Ralph share an obsession, and it's a weird one. We'll tell you about that today. We have Anaheim Ducks playoff tickets.
Okay.
Ducks won last night, game one. We have Dr. Drew on the program today. And we have Jim Rash in the studio.
He's great.
Love him.
Of course, you know his Dean Pelton. He's got a new show called Inside the Writer's Room. It's not a new
show.
This
is season two, yeah. But it's so fascinating. I mean, I'm always, as a lot of people are, interested in how shows get written and how they make the decisions that they make. And it's just so interesting to see how different it's done on so many different shows. And he's the perfect person to host this as a guy who's written successful movies, won an Oscar for screenplays. And it's just a really just great show.
So we're going to talk to him today. He's going to be in studio.
Okay.
And plus take the poo to the loo.
Sure.
I think that's a statement we could all get behind.
Good advice.
Not just in India. We'll take a break and come back. We got the showbiz beat.
Loaded God complex, cock it and pull it.
We're just as baffled as you.
Yeah.
Everybody take it easy.
That might have been played ironically. You don't know, man.
No, it wasn't.
We could be being hipstery.
We're not.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Not only Anaheim Ducks Stanley Cup playoff round one tickets for you on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, but we want to hook you up with the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock next Tuesday afternoon to see The Neighborhood. You can get all the details and enter to win at krock.com, or stick around. We'll give you some coming up later on. Hey, Ralph Garman, good morning.
Painted orange.
What?
Painted orange.
Is that a Flyers reference?
No, it's a Ducks thing. That's their called arms.
I don't.
Okay. Painted orange.
Painted orange.
And take your poo to the loo. I think we're learning a lot of valuable lessons today.
That's also on a big sign down there at the pond. A lot of people just pooping on the ice.
Yeah, you don't want that.
You don't want that.
That's unpleasant.
Yeah. No, tonight is the start of my Fly Guys taking on their
you and me both
dreaded New York Rangers, and the Kings, of course, are playing
the dreaded Sharks.
The Sharks, yep. San Jose. They're always a pain in the butt.
Yes,
they
are.
Yeah. Here's the thing. They've jiggered the scheduling a little bit for the playoffs. It used to be the second and third teams would play higher or lower ranking teams in the playoff ranking, and now they're having the second and third teams play each other, and those teams are often, dreaded rivals. So you get a lot of rivalries immediately up in the first rounds of the playoffs, yeah. Which people are saying, well, a lot of good teams are going to be knocked out because these are good teams playing each other. But a lot of people are saying it makes for great hockey because these are teams who don't necessarily like each other and have long histories.
Why did they change? What was wrong with the previous playoff policy?
Well, they sort of...
What are they trying to accomplish here?
They revamped the divisions as well, the conferences. They kind of rejiggered the whole hierarchy of the hockey standings. And so in doing that, they had to adjust the playoffs as well. So it's fine.
I don't know what it accomplishes ultimately, but you're right. They're number two against number three. Somebody great is going to get knocked out.
Yeah, but really, when you get to the playoffs, there are no bad teams. Everybody kind of earns their right to be there, and it's just going to make for exciting hockey this season. I'm looking forward to it. All right, enough of my jibber-jabbing. Let's rock. Rob Kardashian... apparently spending some time drying out. Star Magazine's reporting he is currently at a rehab called The Meadows. He is battling depression. Oh, also booze, weed, and scissorp.
So a little of everything.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, hell, no wonder you put on 60 pounds.
Yeah.
You're depressed, one thing, and then you're drinking and smoking and scissorping. Word is he checked in about a month ago and is spending some time away from his famous family, which has to help.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. When he gets out of rehab, they're still going to be there.
He just needs to move.
That's when he's going
to
reach for the codeine.
He needs to move overseas somewhere and not tell them.
He needs to disappear.
Yeah.
You put him in the Kardashian relocation project so he can get out. Taye Diggs moves pretty fast. He has just split up from his wife, Idina Menzel, last December, but apparently he's got a brand new girlfriend, a smoking hot model. People magazine says the two are fully dating, and they're telling friends that they're in love. Ironically, the model's name, Adele Dazeem.
That is strange.
Isn't that strange?
Really, what are the chances?
That's got to be a burn on
Adele Dazeem.
On Idina Menzel, really. First that woman takes her her spotlight at the Oscars, and now she's taking her man.
Yeah. Maybe he knew that when he made that, quote, mistake.
See? Travolta knows what's hip.
Right.
He knows what cooks. Hey, listen. Do we need this? Just announced the sequel to Robin Williams' movie Mrs. Doubtfire is in the works.
Yes. Finally.
So soon?
I think it's a little too early to reboot this franchise. Robin's reportedly coming back to play Mrs. Doubtfire. You remember Mrs. Doubtfire? She was a guy who put on a wig and a dress and makeup and boobs in order to spend more time with his kids, because he was in the middle of a divorce, remember?
That's right. They did not recognize their own father.
Cause
with a wig on.
Hello! I'm Mrs. Doubtfire, yes, let me spend some time with you children. Do we need a Mrs. Doubtfire, too?
What year was the original movie? It's got to be 25 years now, right?
I can't give you that information, sadly. It's not here in my story, but you're right. Mid-80s, I'm guessing? Mid-80s?
Yeah.
90s?
For sure. For sure, easy. Oh, 100%.
See, he always says for sure, and then you're in trouble.
I know for a fact.
Yeah, okay.
Mid-90s. Okay, so let's say, best case scenario, 20 years?
Says 1993 here, so yeah, 21 years. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, hello,
children, how are you? Yes, let's make some dinner.
Really? Look, that was a cute movie 20 years ago. And we all said, oh, Robin's wacky. That's cute. Okay. All right. No. No.
So your answer is
no.
All right.
Like a monkey. Speaking of no, this Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Hollywood Babylon returns.
No, indeed. No.
We are home again after being out there on the road. We went to Brea and Irvine and Ontario. We sold out all over this great Southern California. But we're back at our home club there at the Improv on Melrose.
I don't think so.
In West Hollywood, 10 p.m.
No.
Kevin Smith and I will be doing our patented brand of S-talking about celebrities.
Oh, hell no.
What have you. We'd love to have you come out and join us. 10 p.m.
Who, you.
Tomorrow night, Friday at 10, you can go to csmod.com or babylonralph.com or improv.com to get your tickets. But come out and join us.
No.
Come on, come out and join us. If for no other reason than Bean doesn't want you to do it. That's what I think. Just
that's not what you want.
Just get in the face of the man and say, you're not going to hold me down.
You know nobody likes you, right?
Sadly, I do.
How dare you talk about something you know literally nothing about.
I know a lot about this particular thing.
Not interested.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were all born today, April the 17th. Actress Rooney Mara. Oh, Rooney Mara, I love her.
Yeah.
Super talented and lovely. 29 years old today. Victoria Beckham. She used to be in a little band called the Spice Girls. Now she's in a little band called the Frown Girls. Woman who never smiles, Victoria Beckham.
She doesn't?
Never.
I never noticed that.
And look at any photograph of her ever. You'll never see a smile. Huh. She's just that sunken cheek look, and she just gives you that glare.
Well, in her defense, though, she has a miserable life. Look at what she has to go through.
I know. Married to that David Beckham and all those millions that she has to deal with.
And the world's most beautiful children.
Yeah. She's
got to hate all of that.
A lot of problems. I think she's just hungry.
Could be. Could be. Very well be it. Yeah.
Jennifer Garner. We first fell in love with her as Sydney Bristow back in the days of Alias. Now, look at her. Dallas Buyers Club. Married to Ben Affleck.
Draft Day.
42 years old today. Rapper actor Redman is 44 years old. Director Adam McKay, another Philly boy. Best known for, of course, his work with Will Ferrell, including the most recent Anchorman. 46 years old today. Liz Phair is 47. Henry Ian Cusick. You remember him from Lost. Penny, let's get on the boat, Penny. He's 47 years old. Maynard James Keenan of Tool. And, of course, Pucifer. 50 years old today. And actor Sean Bean is 55. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
What up, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:23.
I don't remember there being such thing as a peanut allergy when I was growing up.
I don't either.
Do they always exist, or is it a relatively new thing? Lisa, you would know. You're the smart one.
I don't recall when I was young having friends who couldn't eat peanuts. And
I never heard of anyone.
Big deal.
Yeah, I never heard of anyone dying from accidentally eating a peanut, or you know, having their throat swell up. They had to call the 911. I never heard any of those stories that are so prevalent now. But apparently, peanut allergy is a real thing, and I hate you people for being allergic to peanuts. It's because of you that I don't get peanuts on airplanes anymore, and they bring that stupid Chex Mix.
By the way, but they still serve peanuts on some airplanes.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, I fly a lot of Alaska, and apparently the peanut allergy mafia has gotten to them because I'm not getting any. Well, one crowd that you would not expect to be able to go to baseball games are the people who are allergic to peanuts. Because let's face it, the baseball stadiums are just filled with people eating peanuts. I mean, that's one of the kind of go-to snacks in baseball. Well, not anymore, because now some teams, including the Milwaukee Brewers, also the Colorado Rockies, and the Philadelphia Phillies in 2014, are having peanut-free sections for some games this season. You can actually buy a ticket to sit in that section where they will have no peanuts near you.
Wow.
Huh.
And I guess that's kind of smart. It's not like it's the whole stadium. It's not like they're keeping everybody out who, you know, who likes peanuts. It's just a portion of the stadium. But I've never seen anything like this before. We wanted to find out more about this policy and what it means for Major League Baseball. I mean, if they're going to try to start changing things to appeal to every single person in the world who has a problem with something that goes on in a baseball game, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. But the man who would know is the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Mr. Bud Selig, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Selig.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's going great, sir. Thanks so much for coming on. So did I describe that accurately? Several teams are having peanut-free zones at certain games this season.
Yeah. Here's the thing we've come to realize in Major League Baseball. Baseball blows. it's a horrible, dull, deadly dull game.
But you're not only the commissioner of baseball. I mean, you owned the Milwaukee Brewers for many, many years. You won a World Series with them.
Tell me about it. It's a nightmare.
But aren't you supposed to be the ambassador for baseball? You're the commissioner.
We're just limping along. We're doing anything we can to try to get people into the parks.
I see.
We can't afford to ostracize any section of the population.
Okay.
And that's where this peanut-free baseball thing comes from.
Is this mandate coming down from you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Look, we're desperate. How are we going to get asses in the seats if we don't start, setting up special sections for minority groups and things? Because, frankly, ticket sales are horrible. And so we need to get anybody we can in. And so if you got a peanut allergy before, you say, I'm not going to the baseball game because, well, first of all, baseball blows. And second of all, what if I got a peanut in my foot or something? I don't even know what happens with these people.
They do. They get peanuts in their feet.
They step on a peanut and it lodges in their foot. And they lose a limb. It's gangrene.
I think that's it.
I don't even know. Goddamn people with their allergies. So what we got to do is we got to make a peanut-free zone so we can get those people in.
Okay.
And, get their money because, as I mentioned, it's a horrible game. And it's
it's a terrific sport, and
really
I can't believe you're.
So difficult to watch and to get people in to sit down and watch hours and hours of this crap.
Yeah.
It's just, it's, as you can imagine, it's an uphill climb.
Sure.
So what does this mean? So if you're making this accommodation for folks who are allergic to peanuts, who else are you going after that hasn't been coming to the games?
Anybody.
All people.
We're getting all kinds of sections ready. If this works, and we think it will, we're going to have a no fat chick zone.
No fat chicks.
Yeah.
Wait, in baseball?
Yeah. Huh. A lot of guys, they don't want to look at, some two-ton Tessie chowing down on Dodger dogs or whatever she's got going on. So we'll have a scale at one section. Ladies come in, they'll have to be weighed before we see them.
Wow, going to get some backlash on that
we're
one.
We're going to have natural boob night. Natural boob night.
A lot of guys don't like fake boobs,
so we'll have natural boob night. Another night we'll have fall fake boob night. If you have, we're going to feel your boobs to see if they're real or natural, and then we'll let you in accordingly.
Whatever night that is. Who's going to be doing that?
That'll be me. I'll be doing that. I'll be flying around the different stadiums throughout these great United States of ours, and I'll be feeling up the ladies. So
wow, being the commissioner of baseball sounds like a pretty good job. Sometimes
I got to do something to keep me interested because I'm about to take my life. I'm a commissioner of baseball, for God's sake. We're going to have gay night. We need a couple gay nights.
Okay,
at the ballparks.
All right.
We're going to say, hey, get out your bat and balls, fellas. That's what we're going to say.
You might want to, check that one again.
No, it's whatever goes. Okay. We're going to just throw a tarp over the stadium, and whatever they want to do, it's fine with us, as long as they're paying for tickets. anything goes. Here's my idea. I think it's going to be a good one. No baseball night at the baseball.
How would that work? We would show up and we would watch the teams do what?
We're going to bring in football teams. I'm going to play football. Something people can enjoy for a change. So no baseball night. I think that's going to be a big hit. Please, for God's sakes, buy a ticket to a baseball game.
Right.
We're dying on the vine here.
Okay.
Oh, it's a horrible game.
So football, though, that's what you're going
to do. Yeah, I think football is the future. I think that's the way to go.
I think that's a good call.
I know the kids love the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. It's a great chance to catch up with all the best viral videos of the week in one location at krock.com or kevinbean.com. But what do the kids think about the Internet Roundup theme song that we continue to play?
Oh, I think they love it.
All right, let's hear it one more time then.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Lightning's been dead for like 5 years. We're still playing his voice on the air. It's just weird.
Right. I know.
Just
I hear you, people.
Just added to the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup this morning is the PSA for not pooping in the street in India. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I present for you Poo to the Loo. And again, you got to see the video to see the little piles of poop that are heading toward the jewel-encrusted toilet at the end of the rainbow. It's pretty intense.
It's animated, so it's not terribly gross.
Yes, it's still pretty.
I want to add it to the K-Rock playlist.
It's funny and bad. I agree, yeah, because that needs to be said here as well. We need to put up signs here as well.
This is Dave the Kid of Mexico, who puts the roundup together for us every week, joining us in studio. Dave, this kid who was trying to take a selfie standing as close as possible to the train tracks, he deserved to get hit by that train, right?
I believe so.
Yes,
the conductor did the right thing.
He's standing at the train tracks and he's shooting himself, and then the train goes by and the conductor, and it's just, it's, the timing is brilliant. The conductor puts his foot out of the, you know, where he's driving the train and just knocks the kid to the ground. And
kicks the kid in the head.
Oh my
kicks him in the head, right.
God.
And all the kid cares about is, did he get it on tape? Listen up.
Oh my, oh my.
Cam one with a step.
That's the wrong clip. That's not even the right clip at all.
That's not the right clip.
That's completely unrelated to everything I was talking about. NHL playoffs are here. Stanley Cup playoff time. Of course, the NHL is great, as all the major sports are, putting together these videos of montages of great plays and great players. And this one does get you pumped for the playoffs. It's the best of the year in the NHL.
Oh, my, oh, my.
Cam Ward with a stick on Colin Greening.
Miller fabulous on Dubovsky.
Lettinen has to scramble. You won't see that every day.
I watched this one five times.
It's pretty intense, isn't it? It's great.
So good.
It's so good.
How did it end?
We don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
We don't know yet. Now the kid who gets kicked in the head by a train conductor going by.
Wow, that guy kicked me in the head. I think I got that on film. Wow, that kicked me in the head.
That's all. Did you get it? And he was, of course, taking a selfie, so he wanted to know if he got it.
I hate him so much. But here's a very funny video from Amy Schumer. I assume she did this for her Comedy Central show, Dave. Is that
it was for Inside Amy Schumer. It was
the latest episode. She's doing a parody of The Newsroom, the Aaron Sorkin show, that is kind of famous for all the characters being super, super smart and walking around the newsroom very fast, talking a lot.
Yep.
And that's what she did, except she said hers in a fast food restaurant. And she's working with Josh Charles here. He's the manager. Of course, you know him from The Good Wife. And it's just that rapid-fire Aaron Sorkin dialogue where everything's the most important thing in the world, even though they're only talking about fast food. And it's so well done.
The hell do you mean they want apple slices in the giggle meals?
Corporate wants to offer a healthy option.
A healthy option?
Yes, a healthy option.
Oh, silly me, I thought we stood for something around here.
No. Beef dunk sales, down. Giggle meal sales, down. Fries, Coke, Sprite.
Let me guess. Down?
Jasmine dropped a burger patty under the soft serve machine.
We'll fish it out and reheat it. What is this, half past amateur hour?
It's so funny because in the newsroom on HBO, everything's a crisis.
Yeah.
And that's what they're like on this. It's so funny. Game of Thrones is back. Our friends at Funny or Die, every week they recap the most recent Game of Thrones episode by this guy who really, really does know how to explain a show to
you. He's a real hairdresser.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Oh,
fantastic.
Yeah.
So then maybe Miss Cleo goes full Livin' La Vida Loba on that poor deer, and then he goes up to that tree, has this full-on peyote trip, kind of like the time I was in Amsterdam and was tripping my balls off on, like, mushroom truffles, and I went to this, like, coffee shop where I was tripping in, and then all these, like, weird Russians started, like, coming down the stairs in a single-file line and listening to their headphones, and I started to freak out, and I thought the world was caving in on me.
I love that he doesn't know any of the characters' names. That's my favorite part. Everybody is like evil Gloria Estefan. He just doesn't know anyone's name. Rob Riggle is back. This is also a Funny or Die video. He heard that there's going to be a Top Gun 2, and he wants in on some of this action. And he suits up and flies with the Blue Angels. And it's pretty incredible video to watch what those guys do up in the air.
Oh, I'm telling you, if there was a role I was meant to play, it's the role of Maverick's friend or Maverick's enemy. Or a guy that kind of knows Maverick. Whatever. It's awesome. I decided to put out an audition tape. I'm going to beat everybody to the punch, have the first one in.
Hey, man, I'll meet you on the beach. Let's play some volleyball.
Did he pass out at the end of that video, Dave,
for reals? He actually passes out.
He did pass out. I don't know if it's for reals, but
I think it's for reals.
I do, too. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens. And he was out for, it seemed like,
he was out for a couple seconds.
Yeah.
And, they even radio him. They're like, hey, are you with us? You
know? I mean, I completely understand why you would pass out with as many maneuvers as that plane is making, and the up and down and the flying sideways and everything like that.
When you do that loop, you pass out. It happened to Mike when he did the Red Bull thing.
Right.
He passed out as well, yeah.
How about that? Yeah. Here's a series of video, very popular, called Kids React To, where they take kids, and they're ranging in age from 6 to around 12 or 13 or so, and they give them things that they've never seen before to see what their reaction is. Well, this time they gave them the Walkman. Now, imagine if you grew up as a 10-year-old today with an iPod. Imagine what a Sony Walkman looks like to you. A huge, heavy cassette player. You've never seen a cassette. You have no idea what this thing possibly could be. And it's very funny to watch the kids try to figure it out.
You actually need something else to get it to work.
Oh, come on. That's cheap. Really, guys?
Cassette? Do you know what a cassette is?
No.
No.
So we have a cassette.
I've never seen this.
Ah! Ooh, are these like in the movies?
Oh my gosh.
It's adorable, actually. Honest trailers are back. They can make even the best movies sound terrible, and that's what they've done here with The Wolf of Wall Street.
Experience the film. Critics slammed for glorifying the lifestyle of a corrupt Wall Street stockbroker. Even though he's a miserable wife-beating drug addict who loses his business, family, and fortune. They do make Quaaludes look awesome, though.
That is true. Dave, you think this world's toughest job interview is for real?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, did you see it all the way through?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, it's just...
They advertise for people to do video interviews for a job that they are going to describe to them that sounds like the worst job ever. Listen to this clip, and then you'll find out what the job is as well.
If you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that. With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or... Oh, no time to sleep. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing. Excuse me? What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now?
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
So what are we supposed to do with this? Or is it supposed to be...
Aww. It's a Mother's Day. Yeah. You buy your mom a car. Is that it? Think about your mom.
Aww. What we're supposed to do is what Lisa said, which is, aww.
Mom.
Okay.
Call your mom. All right.
Yeah, call your mom, people.
And finally, our friend Jimmy Kimmel makes things that are completely clean that he takes off TV and makes them filthy just by selectively beeping. It's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
Britney Spears got two big yesterday.
You know, anybody thinks my bigger than your interesting character.
Now listen carefully, you guys, the next time you're don't give up.
Elena said just me from the rear.
By the way, Allie McKay is in this one, too.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Channel 5 is Allie McKay talking about what she's going to do to Snoopy.
You can see all of these videos at KRUC.com or KevinAndBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
6.7 KROQ is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
We heard how Kevin almost threw down, got into an actual fist fight at Coachella over the weekend. And now we want to hear from you, the Kevin and Bean listeners, coming up after the top of the hour about the last time you were in a fight. Most of us as adults don't really, that's not how we settle differences anymore, I think, right?
Sadly, you're right. Some people just need a beat down.
Although, wait till you hear how Bean got in a fight. No, and
that's
where.
My favorite story ever.
And when. It's awesome.
Apparently, Beer Mug also not too long ago got into a fist fight.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
But I'd like to challenge the veracity of his story because till you hear it.
Because Beer Mug's just like he's barely human. He's just got like the lizard brain and everything's just sort of a reaction to his circumstances. Food, eat, anger, punch. He's like the Hulk, but not in the Hulk's body, just with the Hulk brain.
Kevin's right. When you hear Bugs tell his story, it makes him sound like he's a ninja star. I mean, right. It really does. So anyway, coming up after the top of the hour, we want to hear about the last time you got into a fist fight. That should be a lot of fun. Right now, though, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
Speaking of fighting, this may be proof that weed doesn't make you a lazy bum.
Okay.
Despite Beer Mug's example. For example, Willie Nelson, 81. Year old Willie Nelson.
Right.
He'll be 81 on April the 30th, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt. 81 year old Willie Nelson. Who smokes more pot than Willie? Maybe Snoop,
but that's it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They're probably neck and neck for the championship, right? Today, he's about to receive his fifth degree black belt in Gong Kwan Yusol.
That seems impressive.
Fifth degree black belt. He's not getting a black belt, he's getting his fifth degree black belt. In Gong Kwan Yusol.
That's pretty far up the chain, right?
Yeah.
Of martial arts.
That's pretty badass.
But he looks like he couldn't even begin to practice that art.
I have to tell you, when
I... Do you think
I,
he looks like he's...
No, but when I was testing for different belts, the masters at the testing center were like 3, 4, 5 degree in their 50s. Not... They didn't look like they could take you
down.
They
weren't UFC fighters.
But they could take you down.
They had skills,
man. They had skills, yeah.
They had ninja skills.
So he's like Lyoto Machida. This guy is.
Right.
Willie Nelson.
Willie freaking Nelson.
You're saying Willie Nelson.
Yep.
So he...
Here he is now.
So he just looks like a frail old man.
Right.
But don't board his bus without permission.
That's right, because then... Why-oh!
If you had not had fallen, then I would have to kill you. Ninja flying too close to the ground.
Good thing I didn't run into him at Coachella.
Oh, he would have kicked your ass.
He would have.
And he's got those braids, man. He probably whips those. They probably have like stars at the end of them, like ninja stars.
Could be.
Yeah, he's whipping his hair back and forth.
Like nunchuck.
I find that story hard to believe.
Of course you do. You don't believe
it. Put it right out.
Everything's stupid, dumb, and absurd. Let's see if you believe this story.
All right.
Christ Bearer. You know Christ Bearer.
I don't.
Oh.
Christ Bearer.
Is that, who is that?
He's a member of the rap group North Star.
Okay.
Do any of these names mean anything to you? Well, this story will. He is not doing well. Apparently, he's had a bad spell. He's had a bad time of it. He tried to kill himself.
Oh.
By jumping off a second-floor balcony.
Just two floors? Just
yeah. Not the best decision. But at least before he did, he cut off his penis.
What?
Wiener did stand up and take the beating.
Police in North Hollywood were called when two other rappers who work with Christ Bearer, real name Andre Johnson, found him in really bad shape, they say, on the sidewalk.
Oh.
Outside their apartment building, he was taken to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. No word on whether doctors can reattach his Andre Johnson to his Andre Johnson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ow.
What do you have to be going through in order to decide, first of all, to cut off your penis and then to jump off a second floor balcony?
Yeah. But if you're going to...
And how bummed are you when you survive?
When you wake up. If you're going to jump, don't you go a little higher? And why do you need to cut something off?
No, I'm not quite sure.
Wow.
This may sound crazy, but I'm thinking there may be drugs involved in this decision.
You know what? The people around him, Ralph, are saying drugs not involved.
What
the
what?
They think it's mental illness.
Well, that's hard to argue as well.
Bad deal, though.
That's a bad deal.
That's a bad deal.
And in keeping with death... This is all just for Bean. Just giving Bean a little love. Norway.
Died?
Television execs in Norway have unveiled a new show. You remember our favorite Norwegian network? This is the network that broadcasts an entire cruise, a boat cruise, just an entire cruise. Just they put a camera on a boat, and then the boat just went, and then they just showed it.
Didn't they do that with a train? Did they do that with knitting or something?
They did a knitting show, yeah.
Knitting a sweater from start to finish. These are the programs on Norway television. Now they've got a new show called The Coffin.
Can't wait. Tell me more.
Where Norwegian celebrities pick out their own casket and then watch as it's cremated.
Watch as the casket?
They pick the coffin they would like to be buried in, and then they take that coffin and they show them the coffin being cremated so they get to experience their own death. Without being inside the coffin, naturally.
Uh-oh.
So you get to watch the coffin burn.
Okay.
What's the point of that?
You tell us, Norway boy.
What's the point of any of the shows we've described on this network up till now?
Everybody hates where they live.
Everyone's just killing time in Norway. That's what it means. That's the point of it. They got nothing else going on. I'm giving up a TV career in the United States. I'm going to Norway. Imagine what a huge TV star could be in Norway.
Exactly.
Because
just
I would
by doing
do
anything.
Something. I would do something on television.
They would say, we've never seen anything like this.
I'm scared. Who is this man doing something on my television? I'd revolutionize Norwegian television. They'd call me, I'd be the Milton Berle of Norway. Good reference. Thank you. He was a pioneer in broadcast television here in the United States.
Oh, dear God, you need to do that.
He'd be the biggest star in Norway.
Look at all the action.
Look, he's doing things.
Why move?
I'm scared. What is this wizardry?
So if you could tell a joke or juggle or do magic or anything.
Forget about it.
It would be...
He'd be the Harry Potter of Norway.
It would. Leaps and bounds beyond what they got now.
Forget about it. Burning coffins and knitting.
Wow.
Watch me do what I do this Friday night. Speaking of me doing what I do.
No.
Friday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. It is Kevin Smith and I doing our Hollywood Babylon show. We'd love to have you come out and join us. You go to improv.com to get your tickets. 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sean Bean's 55 years old today. Maynard from Tool and Pucifer, 50 years old. Henry Ian Cusick from Lost is 47. Liz Phair, also 47 today. Adam McKay, director, writer, extraordinaire. What a funny, nice man he is.
He's the best.
46 years old. Redman, 44 years old. Jennifer Garner's 42. Victoria Beckham, formerly of the Spice Girls, now of the Dower Girls. She is 40 years old. Actress Rooney Mara celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Got an Oscar-winning writer on the show today, Jim Rash. You also know him as Dean Pelton on TV's Community. He'll be joining us next hour here on the Kevin Smith Show. Man, I love his show, The Writer's Room, on Sundance. Love that show. Very excited to talk to Jim. Also, Dr. Drew on the program today. And keep listening for your chance to win your way into the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock to see The Neighborhood next Tuesday afternoon. You can also go to K-Rock.com, sign up to register there.
All right, so I almost got in a fight at Coachella, but didn't. Because mm-hmm. I have an unusual peace about myself. Calm.
You're so zen.
I'm zen. Thank you, Lisa. But and Bean said it's really probably been a long time since most of us have been in a fist fight. If
yeah,
ever.
As adults,
if ever, really,
it's pretty rare.
I think it would be so shocking if I went out about my day today. It's Thursday, so that's Denny's. So I do Denny's, and then I go to 7-Eleven. And if it's somewhere in that encounter, I ran into somebody, and words were exchanged, and tempers flared, and the situation escalated, and somebody, either him or me, ended up throwing a punch. I think that would just be shocking to the system right now, because it's just not something that's in your brain as a possibility for your day. Right?
Right.
Right.
Wait, why is everyone so quiet? What's so funny? What's going on?
Right. You're right.
Yes.
It's not something you ever expect is going to happen, at least in the circles in which I run. Now, maybe if you're a guy who, drinks a lot and gets into a lot of spirited conversation late at night with alcohol involved, maybe it's not that uncommon that you get into a fight. I don't know.
I think, though, sometimes it comes up at weird times. Like, I was at the movies, and this guy wouldn't put his phone down. He was right in front.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend asked him to please put it away.
Right.
And the guy started
him.
Getting really, pissed.
Sure.
And I thought, oh boy, this could totally escalate really quickly.
So you jumped in with your mauv belt
I
and
did.
Said, everybody
of course
sit
I did.
Down or I'm going to regulate.
I'm going to hurt some people.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We are eager to hear from you about the last time that you were actually involved in a fight. Now, Beer Mug told us that it happened to him not too long ago, right?
Yeah, it was actually 2 hours into the year 2012. We were in Vegas, and I don't really get into many physical altercations ever really in my life.
Right.
But we were on an elevator, and this drunk, obnoxious guy was like holding the doors, not letting us get in. So we kind of like had to sneak around him. So we're on the elevator going up to our room the whole time. And he's like mocking us. He's like, bleh, 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 bleh. We're just ignoring him, whatever. So it's time to us to get off the elevator. And my buddy Chris says, excuse me, could you please move? And he's like, excuse me, can you please move? He's like, no, seriously, please move. And he's like, no, I won't move. And then so my buddy Chris kind of like works his way around him.
Right.
Next thing you know, this guy's throwing an overhand right at my buddy Chris, who's the most peaceful guy in the world, and my MMA skills paid off because I just got the guy in a rear naked choke, and he stopped. Boom. Fight ended.
Did you fly?
Dude, I could have. I was feeling awesome at the time.
None of us believed this story.
No, it happened.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
There's five witnesses. You can ask him.
Oh, no, I'm sure you choked the dude out, and it was all good.
Oh, no, he stopped right when I got him in the rear naked.
Yeah.
Did you drop a mic and then walk off stage?
Absolutely. If there was a mic to be had, I would have done that.
All right, what really happened?
That's seriously, what really
though.
Happened.
No, that's funny. No, that's a funny story, and we accept it. You get credit for the way you told it. It was funny. It made you look like a hero. But what really happened?
That was a good punchline.
That really happened.
Right.
I know it doesn't. I know it's
Bean
hard.
Bean and I are saying we hear your story.
Look, coming from me.
It's entertaining.
Right, right.
But what happened for real? Like behind the scenes when it's not a story.
But for real, that happened.
So you got a bit of chokehold, and then what?
He was, like, so in shock because he didn't know that the guy he just swung at, like, there was, like, three other people with him, including
yeah,
himself.
He didn't know Spider-Man was in the elevator.
Exactly.
Right?
He didn't know Superman was right behind him. And I got him, and he, like, I just grabbed on, started choking him out, and he stopped what he was
and
doing.
And he didn't try to fight again after you let him go.
No, because he wasn't expecting it.
I choose not to believe that.
That happened, Kevin.
Maybe. Maybe it's 100% true.
Witnesses. Do you want me to call the witnesses up?
I don't, because I just choose not to believe it.
How
that's
dare
just,
you?
That's my choice.
Yeah, I'm with Kevin on that.
How dare you?
Now, my fight, and we're going to go right to your calls here at 1-800-520-1067. My fight was in the 80s, so it shows you how, I mean, when I say you don't expect to get into a fight, I mean, I haven't been in a fight since the 80s. And I was at an Amnesty International concert, Kevin.
Amnesty International.
Yes, they're the people who basically are out there spreading the word of peace.
Right. Hey, can't we all just get along? That's that group.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it was U2, and it was Peter Gabriel. I mean, it was a hell of the Police. I mean, it was a hell of a show. And it was a situation similar to what Muggs is talking about, where there was just a drunk a-hole who just kept pushing into, running into, falling into people in our row.
Did you put him to sleep with a rear naked chokehold?
No, I didn't. I did hit him. I did swing at him, hit him, and knock him down, though. And then he jumped up and came for me. And then a bunch of people jumped in and separated us. And within a minute or two, the security there at the stadium, I think we're at Giant Stadium, by the way. I think the security came and escorted both of us out and kicked both of us out of the show.
When you threw the punch, did you make this sound?
Probably so. I probably did. I'm sure it wasn't a great punch.
Was it a slap or a punch?
I think my memory
You dropped him with one punch.
I don't think I did. I mean, I did knock him over. He did fall down over, we were in a stadium seating.
You were in seats, so he could have just fallen over backwards.
And he did. He fell down into the row beneath us.
Because of this noise?
I'm not sure if it was the noise or what. But the irony was not lost on any of us that I was thrown out of an Amnesty International concert for violence.
I choose not to believe that one as well.
That one did happen. Okay. But you can call Beer Mugs witnesses and they'll vouch for it. Yeah. But that's what happened to me. But it's been a long time since I've been in a fight. How long has it been since you guys have been into a fight at 1-800-520-1067? Let's go to Noah real quick. He's on line one to get us going.
Noah, thanks for holding.
Hey, how's up?
You got in a fight. What happened?
I got a big heartbreak, went to a strip club, drowned my sorrows in ladies. I ended up taking the lady out to a Carl's Jr., met four big douchey bros, and they wanted to pick a fight with me because I'm on the scrawnier side, look gay, called me that.
Right.
Pretty rude.
Right.
So then they started being mean to the girl, and that's where I drew the line, and I defended the honor of a stripper against three dudes.
Did you win?
I did.
Liar.
No.
How many people could beat up three dudes?
When they're drunk, you can take on anyone because they can't stand, they slur, and you can punch them in the face. Groin shots okay. But I don't remember much because I kind of blacked out in a hateful rage.
Sure.
And she told me I was crying and making guttural moans.
You were crying. Oh, my God.
Like, full on, just hate sobbing.
What
and
a bummer, because
moans.
you were her hero for 1 second, and then you had to cry and ruin it.
Hey, ladies love men who cry, man.
So do you remember, how did you guys get out of there? Once you've knocked them all down, did you guys just jump in the car and drive away?
Oh, no. I got taken away by the police officers.
All the police ended up being involved.
Yeah, because the Carl's Jr. employee called the police.
Sure. Wow, so, good times.
Hey, Noah, let me ask you one more question before we go. Then we need to take a quick break. But do you believe Beer Mug's story?
Oh, absolutely not.
How dare you? I'll call him up right now. I'll call my witnesses.
Shut up, Mugs. All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Noah, we'll take a quick break and go back with more next. It's been too long since we played Bean's version of that. We got to get that up.
It's the best.
106.
I don't think that's necessary.
106.7. K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:24.
Talking about how Kevin almost got into a fist fight at a party at Coachella this past weekend. And by the way, I was reminded, Kevin, that it was not that long ago where you almost got into a fight with a whole bunch of people. Remember this piece of tape?
Hey, stop fooling her! I'll fight every one of you!
You threatened to fight an entire audience at the Miss Double December pageant a couple of years ago, if I recall correctly.
Because they were all being dicks, and the girls were nervous enough, and they were like, boo! And it was, like, super rude.
And you were kind of drunk.
So your plan was to fight them individually, or you're going to take them all out at one time?
Either way, I'd do what Beer Mug did. I'd just choke them all out.
You're like that girl in Kill Bill who takes about like 100 guys in one room.
Exactly.
All right, so we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Joe. He's on line 5. We're looking for the last time you, the Kevin and Bean Lister, were involved in a fist fight. It's not something that most of us get involved in very often, but Joe, it happened to you. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happened about 4 years ago. I was at a bar, and I witnessed a friend. He was a lucky recipient of a sucker punch. So I called the sucker puncher probably the biggest, you know, I wanted to call him the biggest coward on the face of the earth, and he should, you know, fight someone straight up.
Right.
He started surging towards me, like, you know, basically like, come on, you know, bring on the challenge. So I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. Another friend comes walking into our pathway, and he receives his initial punch. And so basically the entire bar just goes off. Needless to say, I'm a man of girth, so I kind of use that to my leverage.
I'm a man of girth. That's so the best way to say it.
I tackled the guy, basically tackled him, got him to the ground, put my knees on his shoulders, and he just went ground and pound. And just, you know, wouldn't stop until he knocked out. And then when I stood up, I tried to basically assist my other friends. And I don't remember the rest of this, but my friend said that two guys, one on each side of my arm, tried to, like, hold me down. And I'm trying to, like, basically Hulk them off of me.
Right.
And then another guy jumps on my back. So then now I'm, like, just twisting, trying to get everyone off of me. And my friend said another guy came out of nowhere, just full bore, like you either jogging or running, and got a full just extension and just basically fist to the chin. So they basically brought me to my knees.
The Superman then, punch right to the mouth.
Yeah, basically, I just knocked out. So
oh.
I knocked out. My friend said that I just went to my knees and just, like, kind of went into, like, a prone stance, and then some other people pushed them off of me. But needless to say, I ended up with a concussion, and I lost a tooth from that.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's a real bar fight. That's like something you'd see in an Old West movie.
Yeah, that was my last and final fight.
Well, that you know of.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, with that concussion, you have no idea what you're doing with most of your days anymore. All right. Thank you, Joe, very much for the call. That's a serious fight when you get lots of people involved like that. That's crazy.
I believe Joe.
Hey, I do too. That's see, Muggs, that's the difference between a realistic story and the fantasy that you're weaving.
Sorry you can't believe greatness.
Let's go to Christine. She's on line 4.
Oh, chick fight.
I think Christine might involve a chick fight here, yeah.
Hey, Christine.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Last time you were in a fight.
Okay, so I was out with a bunch of friends at a bar, and two of the girls there had tension from before, but usually they're okay, so I didn't think anything of it. Well, as we were walking out, I hear cursing and I hear yelling, and I go out to see what's going on, and those girls are literally fist fighting each other.
Oh.
So I'm just like, oh, crap, what do I do? And then they both
What you do is you start the Jerry chant. That's what you do.
Somebody needs to do that.
So their boyfriends were there as well, so they each grab their girlfriends, and they're trying to, like, hold them back. Well, one of the couples, like, the girl was very feisty, and she kept trying to, like, get out of her boyfriend's grip. So he was basically manhandling her and yelling at her. So I guess the security guard there thought that, you know, he was trying to, like, hit her or something. So he started to get in between the couple, and then the guys all got involved, and it just got really crazy.
So how many people were involved in this fight at its peak?
So I think, like, 6 people ended up getting involved. It was, like, a
huge
brawl.
Nice.
So I'm just, like, in the middle, like, what do I do? Because they're both my friends. I'm just like, oh, my God, I hate this.
You hit them both.
Well, before I could do that, next thing I know, I hear, like, spraying noises, and then I feel a burning sensation all over my arm. Turns out the security guard just thought, okay, I'm over this, and he just sprayed all of us.
Just pepper spray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I hate all of you guys, and I just went home.
Yeah.
It was the worst night of my life.
Did you choke them all out?
I did in my imagination.
Yeah.
See, Muggs, in her imagination, the way she wished it had gone down. That's the difference between her story and yours. Thank you, Christine. Exactly. It's interesting, by the way, that all of the calls, and even the ones we're not going to have time to get to, they all didn't want to be in a fight. It was somebody else who started the fight, but they had to jump in somehow.
Yeah.
And it's always drunk.
And all of these stories involve, almost all of them involve being in a bar, too. But nobody's calling that ever started a fight.
Only Muggs ended it. Yeah. And he did that with a rear naked. Dr. Drew, next hour. I'm excited for that because Kevin has a complaint he'd like to lodge with the medical community. And Dr. Drew is the guy to receive your problem. Actor, writer Jim Rash is going to be joining us. He's Dean Pelton on Community, which might have either its season finale or its series finale tonight. We don't know yet whether Community is going to be coming back. So we'll talk to Jim all about that and your chance to win Anaheim Ducks playoff tickets. That's coming up as well. Right now, though, Kevin, bring people up to speed with why Beer Mug is a liar.
All right. We were talking about the last time you got in a fight. And Beer Mug told us a story about being in a, was it casino?
It was, yeah, it was Excalibur.
Okay, and somebody was drunk. They wouldn't let him on the elevator. Beer Mug and his group rushed him, got past him, got on the elevator. Then the guy wouldn't let him off the elevator. One of Beer Mug's friends snuck off. The guy threw a punch at him, and Beer Mug, from behind, rear naked, choked hold him, and he just put him pretty much to sleep.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was done.
Really?
Done.
Yeah, don't believe
it. And they don't believe
me. We're not buying it for a second.
Yeah.
So he said, I have witnesses. You can call witnesses and see if I did it or not.
So what? Before we go to one of the witnesses on the phone, Beer Mug, story is that you grabbed him and basically choked him out, and that was the end of the confrontation. That was the end of the fight. No other punch was thrown. It was over then.
My buddy Chris politely told him to move. And
we heard that part.
Yeah. And when he swung on him, yes, right. I grabbed him from behind, rear naked choke,
and that
and
was
brought him
it.
Into a corner, brought him, just fall, just made him walk backwards,
right.
And the fight was over. Done.
Didn't he
take any more swings
Hold on. Did he stop, or did you stop him?
What do you mean?
I'm saying, did he just realize that he was beat and not, did he stop himself?
He said, wow, what is the Incredible Hulk doing behind me in giving me a rear naked choke right now?
I'm sure that's what he said.
That makes the story so much less believable.
So, was he physically incapable of continuing to fight because of the beatdown you put on
him?
It
was pretty much, oh no, I shouldn't have thrown that punch.
Because now I'm in trouble.
Now I can't breathe.
So, I messed with the wrong hombre, is what he's thinking.
Exactly.
Way to make your story even less believable. Wait,
why don't you believe it?
Because I've seen people do rear naked chokeholds before, and I know how to do it.
Yeah.
And yet, if I were in a situation where I was supposed to do it, I would do it poorly.
I did it.
And it wouldn't have perfect results like you.
It was awesome.
All right, let's go
to the phones.
Let's go to Chris, who apparently is friends, quote unquote, with Beer Mug. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Come on.
Could we hear not just a verification, yes or no, but could we hear your version of the story that night as you and your group approached the elevator?
For once, he's actually telling
nope.
the truth.
We yes! want to hear. Tell us what happened.
With the exception of the Incredible Hulk line.
Oh, really? Okay, so we made that up. Okay, good.
However, yeah, he is.
So you're saying the guy blocked you from getting on the elevator, and then when you were getting off the elevator, you pick up the story.
So basically, I don't think the guy realized how many of us that were in the elevator. He was hammered, absolutely hammered. By the time I actually got out of the elevator, I turned around to make sure that everyone was okay. He then swung on me. Mugs ended up getting him in the chokehold, immediately brought him out of the elevator, threw him in the corner.
All right, hold on a second, because he said he backed up. Mugs said he backed up into the corner.
No, I backed
up. He had the guy in the hold. Taking him out of the elevator and then backed up against the wall. So basically.
So he pulled him out of the elevator in that chokehold.
That's exactly right. So the guy was kind of freaking out. His arms started flailing about, scratched himself in the face a bunch of times. Things ended up getting calming down. We then go to our rooms. By the way, we all had bags of McDonald's.
Yeah.
He forgot to tell you that. And then
of course.
We ended up going back to the room. Security.
Well, Mux doesn't ever walk from point A to point B without some food on.
That's true.
It's a long journey. Yeah, right.
So we're talking about it in a room, and next thing you know, we get a knock on the door from security. We try to tell our side of the story on the guy that swung us, started the fight. They don't want to hear anything because there was five of us and one guy, you know, one guy, 50-year-old guy. And
oh, he was 50.
Oh, interesting.
But
he mentioned that point. He was an old man.
Lou Ferrigno is 50.
How about that?
It doesn't matter.
So are a lot of other 50-year-olds that can't fight.
Yeah, well, regardless of the fact, they ended up kicking us out. They didn't want to hear our side of the story.
Right.
But it was
I'm
how did security find out about it? Did the guy complain to security, or were they watching on the security cameras, or what?
No. So here's the funny part: is that he went down to security, told the security that he just got jumped by a bunch of younger guys.
Right.
They then come back up to the floor that we got off on. They heard us talking about it in a room.
You guys were having a pillow fight or whatever it is you were doing.
Well, all of our adrenaline's up at that point. You know, we're New Year's just happened. I'm not going to say we're exactly sober.
Right.
Sure. Of course.
That is also a given with mugs, by the way.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, though, Chris. You're very kind to come on, even though you're obviously being paid off by mugs to lie about the story. But in your version of the story, so were you guys like high-fiving mugs? Like, my God, that was incredible. You dealt with that guy. I mean, were you like really impressed with his skills that night?
I actually was. I've never actually seen him in action before.
No one has.
And he actually took control of the situation very, very quickly.
Nope.
So even with a confirmation, even with another witness, Kevin, you're still a nope on this story.
Should we call up Tim?
Hey, Chris? I didn't know that the Incredible Hulk was behind me.
I do feel better about the story, and I'm more inclined to sort of believe it
because
now that
he was smashed and 50.
Right. Now that Muggs is 25 years younger than this guy, it does make a little more sense. Because Muggs didn't mention that. Muggs made it sound like he was, you know, he's on the elevator with Chris Weidman or somebody, you know?
The guy was very swell.
I gotta be honest. I mean, he definitely he took control of the situation.
But, nope.
Thank you, Chris.
That didn't happen.
Thank you, Mr. Lape.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Chris. Bye now.
Bye, Chris.
See? Right. So you guys don't believe me, huh?
Correct. I'm still in the position. I'm still firmly in the no position.
I had a firsthand account of just what just happened.
Not buying it. Not buying it.
Do you want me to put you in one? Kevin, I'll show you.
Yeah, please.
106.7 K-Rock.
For God's
sake. It's K-R-O-Q.
We barely got him back in here.
I know. You can't pull him away from the grilled cheese truck.
Jeez. The grilled cheese truck is the greatest invention in the history of man, by the way.
Truly.
It is, but...
And they were out at Coachella last weekend. And they were out at Coachella this weekend.
And then the microphone goes on, and then you do your job.
You interrupted my sandwich.
By the way, that grilled cheese is the one that they have for... Let's be honest, stoners.
Stop talking. Sounds awful.
No.
And it has like chocolate chips.
Wipe
and
your face. It's what? All over your face.
You're
like a 4-year-old.
Shut up. I'm enjoying myself.
Wipe your face.
Wipe it on your jacket, bitch.
Ooh. Wow. And I'll choke you out all mug style.
You don't know the Hulk's behind you.
Old man. Let's let Kevin finish his sandwich while Ralph tries to keep the show going with another look at the Showbiz Beat. And then our friend Jim Rash joins us in studio from Community right after the top of the hour.
Good news. Kate Upton is speaking out regarding that story that ran in the Sun newspaper about how she wishes every day for smaller boobs.
Yes, yes.
It's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie.
Yes,
it's a lie.
It's not true.
It's a lie.
Oh, thank God.
Kate has stepped up and said, unfortunately, what is... been said about my body is completely made up to try to drum up controversy where there is none. Like every woman, I have moments of insecurity, but I love and am proud of my body, every part of it, and wouldn't change a thing.
Same here.
Kate Upton wouldn't change a thing about her body.
Yeah.
I would change a few things about it.
You'd put
really?
You on it.
What?
Yeah.
Nice, Lisa. What?
I'd change a few things about it.
How would you improve Kate Upton's body?
Here's why I hate men.
It's location.
Oh, okay.
It's location, yes. Meaning it's not near you?
It's not on top of me.
I see, okay. Good.
It's the only thing I would change is
all
the
right.
Location.
I'm good with that.
Yes, Lisa? What do you hate about men?
Never mind. Although I already said that before you said it, but
oh, sorry.
That's fine.
Just ignore the girl. Rarely listen
well,
to the girl.
I do understand that.
Yeah. Hey, I want to give you a quick programming note. If you get a chance to see it in theaters or on download or iTunes, Big Ass Spider is going to be on television this weekend.
Oh, is it?
Did you see Big Ass Spider?
I did not. No, I'm excited about it. What channel's got it?
I loved Big Ass
Spider. I don't
think
I did.
With Greg Grunberg and my buddy Lombardo Boyer.
Mm-hmm.
We play exterminator.
Yeah.
And a security guard who take it upon themselves to try to capture and kill a big-ass spider that's terrorizing Los Angeles. That keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it's crawling on top of the City Hall building like King Kong on the Empire State Building. It's an awesomely fun, entertaining film. It's not nearly as crappy as like Sharknado
Or even Sharktopus.
It's
campy fun, but it's really well done and very well acted and written entertaining, and I think you'll enjoy it. So I want to give people a heads up. It's going to be on Sci-Fi this weekend.
Great.
Saturday, and also Sunday. I think they're playing it again on Sunday, but I know Saturday for sure. So if you're not doing anything, set your DVRs. But I want you to check out Big Ass Spider because I really enjoyed it. So just giving you a heads up. I love me some Big Ass Spider.
Ah, The Who is announced.
They are doing a world tour to celebrate their 50th anniversary.
All right.
Come on, The Who. Stop it. They shouldn't call themselves The Who anymore. They should call Who's Left. It's just two guys, really.
One's deaf.
The other guy can't really sing anymore. It's just sad. Stop it. Stop it, The Who. And while we're talking about classic rock and roll, finally, we get a little details about that AC/DC story we talked about yesterday.
Yes, please. Are they quitting or
Which
not?
Which was the band was breaking up because Malcolm Young had a stroke. That was the story. And we talked about how the band said that they would never go on without any one of the members. If one of them goes, they all go, and that would be the end of the band. Well,
you hear that, The Who?
Everything I said previously was wrong.
What?
First of all, Malcolm is sick.
Okay.
He is very ill. They won't say what it is, but now the initial report was he suffered a stroke, but sources close to the band say now it's either Alzheimer's, dementia, or possibly cancer.
Oh, wow. They've really narrowed it.
They have not narrowed it at all. However, he is stepping down. He's taking a break. Here's the statement from the band. After 40 years of life dedicated to AC/DC, guitarist and founding member Malcolm Young is taking a break from the band due to ill health. Malcolm would like to thank the group's diehard legion of fans worldwide for their never-ending love and support. In light of this news, AC/DC asked that Malcolm and his family's privacy be respected during this time. The band will continue to make music.
Is that right?
So AC/DC is going on, despite the fact that Malcolm will not be performing with them, at least until he gets better or until we know more about his illness. But there you go. There's your update. So I guess that whole... Yeah, one of us goes, we all go thing left by the wayside. Unless it's Malcolm, apparently, was a little asterisk at the bottom of the contract.
Although Malcolm could have said, you know, I know that's our agreement, but
go please,
ahead.
Guys, feel free. Keep making a living, and I'll be over here trying to get better. So that's good news.
Hey, look, that's a band that went on when their freaking lead singer died. So,
yeah,
you know,
true.
There's a history of them making changes and making it work.
Finally, we're getting that sequel we've been looking for. To Mrs. Doubtfire.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire 2 is in the works. Robin Williams said they finally found the right script. You know what? if there's a cover on it that says Mrs. Doubtfire 2, it's not the right script. There's no good script that says Mrs. Doubtfire 2 on it.
Oh, hello, yes, I'm Mrs. Doubtfire. Oh, my boobs are on fire because I was leaning over the stove.
That was funny. It was not funny.
That was 20 years ago?
21 years ago.
21 years ago.
Mrs. Doubtfire first entered our lives, and now she's coming back.
And it was so he could see his kids. Now, did he have other kids? And then he's got to
do grandkids now. They won't let him see the grandkids.
He's
got to
dress up like a clown.
Something's...
Is it possible that movie could be good?
No.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Nope.
All right. And Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie continue to make us feel bad about ourselves. Star Magazine reports that the couple recently took a private plane, and the cleaning crew complained that when they went to the back of the bedroom to clean up the plane after they used it, they found numerous used sex toys left behind, and the crew refused to clean them up.
I don't blame them.
I'd clean them up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
No, not really.
Would you like to know?
No.
I'd put them in that grilled cheese sandwich you're eating over there.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Nope.com.
So they got 27 kids, and they're still going at it like a monkey in the back of a private plane. That's just stop it. Just stop it. We feel bad enough about ourselves without you doing all that stuff, Brangelina. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rooney Mara is 29 years old today. Boy, is she lovely and talented. Victoria Beckham of the Spice Girls. Now, of course, with a fashion designer and wife to David. And just couldn't be less happy about her life. 40 years
old. Doesn't seem like it.
She's just dour. Jennifer Garner is 42. Redman is 44 years old. Adam McKay, one of the funniest people on this planet or any other, 46 years old. Liz Phair is 47. Henry Ian Cusick, from Lost is 47 as well. Maynard from Tool is 50 years old. And actor Sean Bean, 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Let me give you a lot of reasons why Jim Rash is better than we are, Kevin. First of all, he won a freaking Oscar, okay, for co-writing The Descendant. Second of all, he's one of the stars of one of the funniest shows on TV, Community, on NBC Thursday nights.
Right.
Third of all, he hosts the Writer's Room show, which is so fascinating, on Sundance that we'll talk about. Fourth of all, he walked by the grilled cheese truck and didn't have a grilled cheese sandwich.
I'm sorry, that's a mark against him.
Yeah. How do you come into a radio station in the morning and there's free grilled cheese and you say, nah, I gotta watch my girlish figure.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the girlish figure part. Well, as soon as they told me they have ones they put Oreos in, I think I sort of checked out just for a second because I thought I'd fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine anything better than free grilled cheese sandwiches.
Maybe on the way out. That's the reward.
There you go. That's the carrot.
Reward. Okay.
Got it. Well, welcome back, sir. How you been?
I've been great. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Last time we had Jim was right ahead of The Way, Way Back, which you guys co-wrote. You and Nate co-wrote, and you co-starred in. That was fantastic. Is that out on DVD yet or on demand for people who haven't seen it?
I know people are watching it on Netflix, so I know. Okay. I'm sure it's out there.
God, that was a great movie.
It is a great movie.
What a great plug.
You should have more information about your own thing.
I think it's released. No, okay. It's out there.
It's out there. So the Writer's Room is coming back.
Yes.
Tell folks who probably haven't heard about that show. It's a little bit of an undiscovered gem on there on the Sundance channel, but it's terrific. Tell folks about it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the second season. Yes, it's on Sundance. It's our premiere is Friday, this Friday at 9. And I sit down basically with, hot shows and talk about the writing process. So I sit down with the creator and a bunch of their writers and sometimes stars of the shows. So like this weekend, the first one is Scandal. So we have Shonda Rhimes and all the writing staff, and Kerry Washington's there. And we just talk about the process, their decision-making, why they make the decisions they make. It's really just about the celebration of the writer's room.
Now, Shonda doesn't do a lot of interviews, right?
I don't know. I mean,
The impression I get is you don't see her very often speak out about this show. I mean, partly because I imagine she's so incredibly busy that she has to turn down most requests.
Yeah, she's just balancing a few shows.
Because she does Grey's Anatomy also, right?
Yes. And, she... I feel like this year it was easier to find staffs wanting to do it because they'd seen what it was. I mean, the first year we had Breaking Bad, we had wonderful shows, Game of Thrones, but they're like, what are we doing? You know, I think they think you're just there to talk about spoilers, but it really is not about just sort of like what's coming up. You know, I think it's more about why did you do the things you do.
Now, that's the personal attraction for you because as a writer yourself, you're just interested in seeing other ways that other people work?
Yes. For me, it's almost a selfish thing because I get to find out that they're as neurotic as me and or they're like, oh, yeah, there are some bad days. You know, I think you just want these.
You want somebody else to commiserate with?
You want some genius to say, oh, no, we have horrible days where we question everything we've chosen and we back ourselves against a wall. And they all talk about really candidly about those days, you know.
I got to tell you, I'm one of the people that had no idea the show was on, as is the case. I'm pretty clueless in general. But I saw the one on Scandal, and it makes me really want to watch Scandal now.
It does.
You talk about the behind the scenes and how they make decisions and where they decide to go, and they talk about the arguments that they have in the process. That's cool.
It really does celebrate that. I think it's good for fans. Obviously, fans will show up for individual shows. But I think even if you're not a writer or have no aspirations to write, it really is about group dynamics and you fall in love with these shows and they're excited about the shows and then you get to see some clips. And so I think it's a great way to bring more eyes to both the shows and the process of writing.
One of the most fascinating things, and I don't think this is would be considered a spoiler for the Scandal episode that airs tomorrow night on Sundance,
is that they all die.
Yeah.
They don't have this was my read of what they said, Jim, and I know the show's edited a little bit. Tell me if I got this correct. They don't have a master plan of where it's going seasons down the road.
Yeah.
They're making it up as they go along, and oftentimes they back themselves up against the wall. And when they leave, I think Shonda said, when they leave at the end of season four or whatever it is, they have no idea how they're going to come back in season five. They're starting from scratch. All right, here's where we are. Now what do we do?
Yeah, in my head, I always figured, oh, you know, they start the early. They sort of map out each season. But
that's how we felt. And, you know, we had these questions about Lost, especially when we were trying to figure out, do they know where they're going?
Yeah.
And in their case, it may have been different, but –
I think perhaps, you know, things happen in the moment. You know, sometimes they change course like that. You know, even Community does that. You know, we'll be going one way and then they'll change and change the third act, you know, just for, you know, because creatively it feels like this is the way to go. So I feel like they never want to. I think Shonda talks about mainly pushing story, never holding back, just keep plowing through. It's not this sort of slow build. It's like just throw it in there, and it's story upon story. So I think it's sort of exciting because then at some point you're going to go, whoa, how do we get out of this?
Right. Now what?
With all the episodes that you've done, and I think you've got, what, like 12 in the can or something, Jim, of the writer's room?
Yeah.
Is there a right way to do these shows, or are there lots of ways to do these shows?
You mean the individual shows themselves?
Yeah, I mean, to write for television. Is there such thing as a way that it should be done?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's a one method to make it perfect. You know, I think each show approaches it differently. I mean, like House of Cards is mostly a staff of playwrights, you know, Bo Willimon put together, you know, people who were moving into TV all together almost at the same time for the first time. So I would imagine their process might be a little bit different than, say, Shonda or, you know, a procedural probably operates one way, you know, putting the case first and then maybe more character-driven starts with a character arc. I think everyone's approach might be a little bit different.
Well, for people who love television, this is a must-see show because, like you said, it does take you behind the scenes of some of the best things on television. The episode tomorrow night is with Scandal, and you've got Shonda on there, who's the creator of the show and the showrunner, and then Kerry Washington, who's a star, and then lots of other people who are involved in the writing and the producing of the show. We want to play a clip from the episode because this will give you an idea about some of the dirt that you get on this show sometimes. This is Shonda. She's talking about the reaction she got when she first pitched the show to ABC. I think you'll enjoy this.
We love the script. I think it's amazing. Can Olivia Pope not be having an affair with the president? And I remember sitting on a phone and saying out loud, this is a show in which Olivia Pope is going to have sex with the president on the desk in the Oval Office. That is the show that I am writing. If you do not want to see that show, that is awesome because I have other jobs. And they, to their credit, sort of said, okay.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just falling in love with you.
Yeah. Oh, who was that wonderful voice at the end?
Sounded like the voice of God.
I did fall in love with her because I'm sorry. Anyone who gets to make that kind of
this is it.
Reaction to a note.
Take it or leave it.
Oh, my goodness. And of course they are because she's highly successful and brought them so much success there. And they should trust her implicitly. And I think that what I love about that is that there are a lot of them. And that she's not the only one.
Odd that they don't.
Yeah.
Like, I would think all successful shows would get left alone. That's not the case at all.
I don't think so. I think yes, as time goes on, you become a success. And she's talking about the very beginning before anything had happened. But at the same time, for a creative, you know, showrunner to just sort of say, this is the show I creatively believe in, and this is the one I want to do. And I think there are a lot of them who are very outspoken, Kurt Sutter with Sons of Anarchy, about this is my vision, you know, trust me, you know. And there's a respectful way to, like, hear everyone's thoughts because obviously you never want to ignore it, and she doesn't, and she makes it very important to make sure of that. But for the most part, it's very exciting.
There are also a lot of the most unique shows because it's a pretty singular vision.
Yes.
You talk about Sons of Anarchy. That is a genius show, and it's a singular vision that's not being torn apart by notes from the network and all that stuff.
It is true, and I think it's Kurt's vision, but then also that's the power of writing staff because I think Shonda, I think all of them always credit their writers for saying, like, these are the people that throw a wrench in what I thought might be the way to go and realize they're right and I was wrong, and they embrace that. So I think that group dynamic is what makes writers' rooms very interesting.
Very, very interesting. Jim, you had to work a deal where if they come on the writers' room, you get to come on their show.
I know. Well,
wouldn't that be great if you were a guest star on all these shows?
I pitched arcs for all the shows where I come in.
Wait a minute. Are you having sex with the president?
Yeah. No, I'm the good wife. I'm the good husband. Trust me. I'm in everything.
I want to see you be Olivia Pope's new boy toy. That's the storyline I want to see on Scandal. All right. We have to take a break. Jim Rash in studio with us. The show is called The Writer's Room, by the way. Season 2 airs on the Sundance Channel. It kicks off tomorrow night with the Scandal episode. That's at 10 o'clock. You got to watch that. And, of course, we take a quick break, come back, talk about other things, including Community, which is on tonight. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Actor, writer Jim Rash in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We talked about The Writer's Room returning for season 2 on Sundance tomorrow night. Tonight, Jim, you and the gang are going to be at Greendale for the series or season finale of Community at 8 o'clock.
Season finale.
Season finale.
We hope. Our vision board says it's season finale.
Does that make it so?
I think so, right? Okay. We put six seasons in a movie on your vision board?
I don't know what a vision board is, but okay.
Oh, you know, it's a real thing that makes things happen. Okay, if you put them on a cork board and stare at it, it will come.
It's magic. It'll happen. It's the secret.
It's the secret.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I feel like Community, which is a show that we have loved, Jim, and as you know, have supported from the very beginning. We love that show. I feel like it has been strapped into the electric chair two or three different times, and that call from the governor came at 1 minute before midnight, and you get to live another day.
Yeah, we're always like the visitors on the other side of the glass, and they just leave the chair empty, and they say, "We might put you in it.
We're not sure. We'll let you know at the last second."
Yeah, but we're always there attending it. Look, it's a blessing to have been on for 5 years, and
it's a nutty show.
It's very. I mean, we have rabid fans, and it's for they love it, and that's what's kept us alive. You know?
So this year was it felt like a bonus to not only get to do another show, but to have your fearless leader Dan Harmon come back. And you have done some of the most bizarre episodes in the history of the show this year.
Yeah,
which is
saying
something. It's not like he came back and said, "Well, I got my job back. I'm going to play it safe." Mm-hmm. I mean, he just continued to be like let's talk about the G.I. Joe episode for a minute.
Yeah,
one of the strangest things I've ever seen in primetime. Describe it for folks who didn't see it.
Basically, if you didn't check it out, we did a fully animated G.I. Joe. If you grew up in the 80s, you know exactly what the animation looked like. We were all sort of part of Cobra. I was part of Cobra. The dean was. And then they were part of Joe. And it basically was talking about Jeff Winger was turning 40. And this was his sort of battling death.
Everything you're saying is nonsense.
It's totally nonsense. Everyone's like in their car going, "What is happening?" But it really is. It's like basically Jeff Winger's G.I. Joe character kills Destro, and everyone's shocked in the episode because they're like, no one gets killed in a cartoon, and that sets off this whole sort of you realize that Jeff is sort of having this had a panic attack, basically.
So when we were talking earlier about the writer's room and about notes from the network, is that the type of episode that is a very tough sell to NBC because you guys don't even appear in the episode until the last 2 minutes of the show when he basically comes out of his coma in the hospital?
What I think is one of those ones where you can't stop an animation train. In other words, this was told that we're doing this at the very beginning because you have to start animation.
Oh, I see.
So at some point they just go, okay. Yeah, let's do it. And what's it be about? Well, we'll get to it. We'll write it later.
And then they forget along the way somewhere.
I don't know, but at some point it's also, I don't know. It's a great it's a good thing to market, sort of gotten, as far as animation, so maybe I think everyone felt like they were on board as far as I know.
Who did you think was hotter, animated Britta or animated Annie?
Oh, that's tough. I think I would offend them both.
That was a tough choice. Man.
I like them both
that's
equally.
Tough. Yeah. My voice sounded weird. But they were. I love them equally.
So last week, which set up the finale tonight, last week the school was essentially declared an asset. It was in good shape. So they sold it to Subway. And Subway was going to take over the college and turn it into Subway University where they were going to train sandwich artists. And we picked that up again tonight. We're going to find out if that happens.
Yes, we are. I can tell you that the production department had on the doors, green pepper cutting, tomato cutting. Like each class was separated,
which I just love.
That's in the background. But yes, tonight is the season finale, so it's a sort of the action-packed ending. It's very, National Treasure, going down
national
into the depth.
Treasure?
What's that, the Nick Cage movie?
I know what movie you're talking about, but
I'm thinking in those kind of terms, because we're going down to the depths of Greendale, so to speak.
Oh,
so
there's something buried below the college, right?
And we know that Chris Elliott is, there's a picture of him seen. So Chris Elliott is in this episode as Borchert, who is one of the very founders of Greendale. So
you've lost your mind, all of you over there.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
you really have.
You've lost your mind.
That's it. That's how we operate. That's why the show's so great.
It really is. There are very few shows that you go, there's really nothing else like that.
Yeah, there is.
This is the one.
No.
All right, so that's going to be tonight at 8 o'clock. Please watch that. Are we on the bubble? I mean, do we need people to really turn out in force tonight to watch it?
This is the one, yes. If I was saying watch it live, this is the one we need
to watch
it live.
This is the one, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Let's watch it, folks.
And then other shows are just
their season finales are later. So see, you can see this one live.
See this one live, and then
DVR
don't worry,
and you're right.
All right.
When will word come down about whether there is a season six for Canada?
I don't know. I would imagine a couple weeks because, you know, as pilots get turned in, so we'll see.
Okay, so that'll be tonight, and then tomorrow night on Sundance, you definitely want to check out The Writer's Room, and it's so great to have you back in, Jim. We really enjoyed it. Have yourself a complimentary grilled cheese on the way out, my friend.
I'm getting ready to stuff my face.
That's what I'm talking
about. Red Bull Sound Space is the concert space that we have here in the K-Rock building. If you want to be here next Tuesday afternoon to see The Neighborhood, then go to krock.com for a chance to win, and keep listening to the station as we continue to give them away. Don Maynor from Woodland Hills just won his. Your chance coming up on K-Rock.
It is time to talk with the good Dr. Drew, as we do every Thursday. Good morning, Dr. Drew.
Good morning, gentlemen.
I hope you're sitting down, because Kevin's going to put you on blast here. He's got a real legitimate complaint with the entire medical community, and unfortunately, Dr. Drew, you're going to have to defend what your people are doing to him.
We'll see. Go right ahead.
All right. The advances in medicine have been amazing. The heart surgery is almost routine.
Let's get right to it.
I will.
They're practically curing people who have AIDS. I mean, is there nothing that medicine can't do?
Robots are doing surgery. You got hand transplants. I saw an Orphan Black. They're making clones. I mean,
sure.
Is it still the best way to check the prostate? Is that still, like, we haven't made 1% advance past the doctor sticking his finger in your beehole. That's the best possible test.
Well, I have a few thoughts.
There's no x-ray. There's no blood test. There's no anything that can replace that.
I got a couple thoughts. First of all, we've come up with a much more kind and gentle name for it. We call it the DRE.
Well, how does it?
We've progressed that way.
Does that feel better?
I totally know what that stands for.
You do. Go ahead, Lisa.
Digital rectal exam.
There you go. So we dropped the
Dr. Drew, seriously.
It's a nice, sweet name.
It's the year 2014.
And there is, of course, a blood test. And there's
donated his kidney to another human being and was back at work like in an hour. I don't understand how the DPR is still the best test.
And, of course, you know, listen, we're as physicians, we're sort of like the dentist. We have to inflict some discomfort. I mean, what fun is it for us if it can't be miserable?
I can't imagine this is fun for you.
Do you guys remember you brought Jimmy Kimmel over to my office? Or it was just Kevin,
yes,
I think.
Yes, it was me. It was just me.
With a tape recorder for me to do a DRE on Jimmy Kimmel.
I found that so funny because it was him. But since then, I mean, are we ignoring progress here in this particular area? Are we just going, this is fine, let's not try to progress?
Well, it is pretty cheap.
Well, there is a blood test. And there is an ultrasound, and there are biopsies. So there's different modes of assessment. And believe me, you know what, the biopsy, I've been through three of those. They're delightful. It's like getting shot in your ass. It's terrible.
Now, Dr. Drew's the right person to talk to about this because he's not only a physician, but he had prostate cancer, right?
That's correct. And
okay.
And by the way, it would have been missed by the DRE.
It would have been missed by the DRE. So the DRE is not the best test.
It's not the best test.
Then why are they doing it?
But it's a necessary test, and it's like we have physical exams. This is something I've had an issue with forever. Remember those when Oprah was touting those MRIs as full body MRIs?
Yeah.
You know what? They were less effective than a general physical examination. I thought
they told you if you were going to have any kind of heart trouble or any kind of liver, any kind of trouble that they would tell you.
They looked at the anatomy. They were able to tell you what your anatomy was in that moment. But a physical exam can give you all sorts of inferential information about what is going on functionally, what's likely to go on in the future. And we have ways of using our hands, our eyes, and our ears, and even our noses that help us predict things and interpret things in ways that really give us a lot more information. And what a single physician feels at his or her fingertip can give them a ton of info. And I'm sorry, Kevin.
It's barbaric, Dr. Drew.
Effing exams every year. They're awful. I admit it. They're terrible. But they save lives. I'm so sorry.
But I do feel like that the way we look at physicians now from 500 years ago that used to like drill holes in somebody's skull to, you know, right. to help them with them. I feel like that's how one day we're going to look at this so-called DRE is people are just going to laugh at the 21st century that we used to actually let a guy put his finger up our butt.
And I'm wondering if they're laughing now, like if he got on the phone afterwards and said, I got another sucker. He bought it. But this is the best test. I did it.
We giggle a little bit.
Yes, you do. You bastard.
Dr. Drew, what's it like for you as the is it just so routine that there's no ick factor at all involved in you doing it to your patients?
There's no ick factor. You mostly don't want to inflict discomfort on your patients. And it's interesting, you know, urologists have a much rougher finger than an internist, I've noticed. And, you know, and they get in there and they really feel every inch of that thing. But even so, we get information even with our less skilled digit. But yeah, you feel bad for the patient, but you don't feel ick. No, you really, because it's right. life saving. You gotta get in there and do that.
Is anyone working on this issue? Is there one single scientist somewhere? Yeah, I know that they have to cure cancer, and there's a lot of stuff that's more important. But there's got to be one guy who had a rough examination and said, "I'm going to make a better test."
Did this happen to you as a child, Kevin, or something?
It happened to me yesterday,
Dr. Drew. The women in here just laugh at him. It's like, oh, for. You would die if you were a woman, if this is how you're reacting to this.
I am not. I acknowledge that. I would die if I was a woman. There's no question about that.
But yes, to answer your question, of course, they're trying to come up with more accurate blood tests and ways of getting around this. And
well, can we step that up a bit?
Every time we come up with an advance, we keep going, you know what? This DRE shows us, it ends up being as predictive or as important as anything else. And so it is still part. Yes, they are trying to advance. They're trying to listen. They're trying to do away with colonoscopies all the time. They're trying to make things better. But right now, this is by far the best thing and so important.
Let me ask you another question.
Yeah.
The same test, the DRE, was the best we could do 100 years ago.
I don't think they were really doing it 100 years ago. I think it's a more newfound torture. And
how many years?
I don't know 30? The history. I should have
40?
Looked it up.
Kevin, you're living at the exact wrong time in history to avoid the DRE, it sounds like. You should have been born either 100 years ago or 100 years from now, and you would have just dodged this whole section.
I'm just saying.
I'm concerned about what happened to Kevin.
Nothing. I mean, listen.
Is it rectal thermometer all the time or something? In that body?
No. No, I found it.
According to Cosmo, men love this. Kevin, what's the matter?
Two days ago, I went and I had a full physical, and that happened, and I just was struck by the fact that that can't possibly be the cutting edge of medicine.
Did they want to do, here's the important question, is that they want to do any further testing afterwards?
No.
No. God bless you. See, you're
they,
really
they
clear.
Just wanted to take him to dinner. That's all. Hey, Doc, listen, before we let you go, I know you got a lot going on with the on-call show on HLN Monday through Fridays at 6 and the fine family of podcasts at drdrew.com and podcast1.com. But I wanted to ask you, how did it go with Brad Williams? You had him filling in for Carolla while Carolla's off doing his TV show. How was little Brad on the show?
He was great. He's always great. Then I had Adam Ray after that, too. So his partner.
Yes.
Partner, too.
Yes. And they are both great guys. Huge fans of both them. And they slammed it home. Don't worry. It was a vacation. Are you kidding? You think I missed Carolla?
You're able to get a word in edgewise for once.
Oh, my God. By the way, I announced it was a vacation for all the staff that was looking at me through the windows and things and enjoying the show. And they all like, no, not me. I'm not. Shh. Why do you always say that?
Nobody let Carolla know.
Oh, my God. Well, and then Adam's starting to talk to them now. Like, why does Drew always say that you always run and scatter when I'm around? And you know, he doesn't get it. Adam has no idea what a
barbarian
really?
Funny.
Is.
Well, those sound like great episodes to check out of the podcast. And don't forget Loveline 5 nights a week with new daddy Michael Catherwood here on K-Rock Sunday through Thursday nights at 10. Thanks for the time, Doc.
Okay, guys.
I think you may have to just get back in a band, Ralph. You seem to miss drumming so much.
Well, I'm going to get the Revolver Boys back together.
Are you?
Yeah, we're going to do a big reunion tour, finally. Yeah, we're gonna the big release of our box set coming up, so we're going to do that in support.
I didn't realize you had a box set.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to put that 1-3-song EP we made and put it in a box. And then give it out to people.
Ralph was in a band in high school.
Hell yeah. Revolver, woo!
Hey, Ducks won last night, right?
Yep.
Yeah, just barely, but they did.
Game two of the Stanley Cup playoffs round one is going to be at Honda Center tomorrow night as they welcome once again the Dallas Stars to town. If you'd like to be there in person, we are looking for Anaheim Ducks fans. You love your guys. You want to be there to see the action tomorrow night. Give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. It won't be as simple as just dialing in. We're going to make you work for it. We'll put you on hold. Yeah. Come back and play a game coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, I do want to give people a reminder. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are joining forces yet again for another edition of Hollywood Babylon.
No.
We've been taking it to you in Brea and Irvine and in Ontario the past couple weeks, but now we're home at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood.
Yes.
I'm trying to give you a yes, but you can't even hear it.
I can't even make that out.
That's the worst clip ever.
Maybe take that one away.
Take that one away.
No.
That I heard clearly. The no's I hear clearly. The yeses
it's
I don't
good
get.
Intention.
I don't get the yeses very often.
You can't understand it.
You can go to BabylonRoff.com or Improv.com and get your tickets via those websites. Love to see you join us tomorrow night.
No one really wants that.
At 10 p.m. And then I'm going to see my geeks on Saturday. I'll be down at WonderCon with my people on Saturday. It's going to be a great
weekend.
The
answer is a flat no.
We don't have any yeses.
No, you don't.
That was the only one we had.
Ain't that the truth?
Okay, well, let's see. I'd rather set fire to my vulva, so that's a no.
Linda Lohan! Rumors still swirling that she's up to her old tricks. Bystanders at a viewing party for her reality show, which is about her getting sober, told RadarOnline.com the guest of honor was not sober.
Yay! Oh, no.
Reeked of booze and was walking in a zigzag fashion throughout the party.
Oh, no.
Kevin, what have you done?
I didn't do it. I didn't even see her.
You spent the weekend with her at Coachella, and the next thing we know,
I didn't see her.
This is all part of us.
She's got her own party bus.
By the way, it's funny. Kevin and I did Babylon in Ontario last week, and some people said, yeah, we took a party bus here from, I forget where they came from. And I went, you came on a party bus? And rah, the entire crowd erupted into cheers. So I want you to know that you're well represented amongst our people out there.
Kevin, if you don't start a party bus company at some point and cash in on what you're so well known for, you're going to be missing out on an opportunity.
Jay-Z and Beyonce are putting together a co-headlining tour of stadiums this summer. New York Post said it'll be 20 stadiums all over North America with a kickoff set for June. And Jay-Z's Philly-based show, Made in America, his festival, will also happen here in Los Angeles. Both events are set for the Labor Day weekend, and musical lineups for both will be revealed soon, but they're going to do Philly and L.A. concurrently. I guess it'll happen at the same time. So you got both coasts covered.
That's cool.
Jay-Z's Made in America concert. I'll tell you, friends of mine in Philly say it's a great event in Philly every year. The past couple of years they've done it, they really enjoy it. So.
And they still show the movie on HBO if you guys never saw it. Ron Howard directed the documentary about the Made in America Festival. It's really, really good.
Never saw that.
And while we're talking about music, this might surprise you. UB40's in trouble. Remember the band UB40?
Sure.
Nope.
Red Red Wine, I guess, was their biggest hit, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reggae cover band UB40 got in trouble in Cambridge, England this week because Anna Webster, who was there at the show, made her ears bleed.
With the sound was so loud?
They rocked so hard that Anna's ears started to bleed. Now she's suing the band. The amps were turned up too loud, according to the 30 people who were there. I'm sorry, to 30 people who were there. The band apologized to Anna and offered her free VIP tickets to the next gig, which she accepted.
What?
Hope she brings her earplugs. Who believed UB40 would rock your face off?
Yeah, that is a surprise.
But now we're UB40. We're going to make your ears bleed. Red, red,
white. How do you turn this up too loud?
Ow! Ow, stop! Ah, my ears are bleeding.
Interesting piece of trivia. My man Bean.
What?
Was a music director.
Yes.
In the day.
Yes.
I believe is responsible for Red Red Wine from UB40 at making it to radio. I believe it's Bean's fault. Is that correct, Bean?
I think I take some of the credit for bringing that. This was one of those deals, Ralph, where the song had been on a previous album and had not done anything.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of brought it back and started playing it as a new record, and it got so popular that it spread to other cities and ended up being re-released by the record company and then went to number one.
Bean is to blame for this. Oh, it makes so much sense now. Everything's falling together.
All the pieces to the puzzle are dropping into place.
It was a great song that deserved to be a hit. It ended up being a big number one song.
Stop it.
Regardless, I do have
regardless of the song, it's...
I don't think UB40 is getting enough love.
You shouldn't have that impact in any world.
Wow, you're like Rodney on the Rock, Beam.
Well, you don't have to get mean.
Only with UB40.
All right, UB40.
Yeah.
Yeah. Red, red wine. Neil Diamond.
So glad you dig me.
Yeah, dig you.
You have their gold record on your wall, Bean?
I might have it in storage somewhere. I don't think I currently display it, but I might have it somewhere.
So yeah. They, like, love you, and they were great. They're appreciative of your hard work on their behalf?
Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah, absolutely. Very much so, yeah.
You're like the fifth UB40?
I don't think I'm exaggerating. I think without Bean, that song is unrecognizable today.
Another reason to hate the bastard.
That's correct.
Freaking red, red wine song. The things you learn.
Oh, yep.
I'm not sure that story needed to come back to light, by the way, Kelly.
The more you know.
Like our listeners don't have enough reason.
I've been doing a million years that this, my little ear bleeding story would lead us back to Bean. That was magical. That's the magic of radio right there, kids. Everyone who's listening right now, you just witnessed a moment. You'll tell your grandkids about this. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rooney Mara is 29 years old today. Victoria Beckham of Spice Girls is 40. Jennifer Garner is 42. Redman's 44. Adam McKay. What a funny, sweet, wonderful man he is. 46 years old today. Liz Phair is 47. Henry Ian Cusick from Lost is 47 years old. Maynard of Tool is 50. And Sean Bean, very talented actor. He's 55. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.
I broke Mumford & Son, too.
I had nothing to do with Mumford & Son. Put that on me. Hey, if you go to KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com for the brand new internet roundup that we posted today, you'll see a video of highlights of an amazing season of NHL action. I mean, just great players and great plays throughout the whole year from all the teams. It kind of gets you psyched up for the Stanley Cup playoffs because those are up and running right now. In fact, the Kings start tonight, right, Kevin?
Yep. King Sharks, 7:30.
Ducks are back in action tomorrow night at the Honda Center with Dallas once again. They're up 1-0. We're looking for Ducks fans at 1-800-520-1067 to be there in person with a game we like to call Famous Ducks.
Oh, can you name all these world-famous ducks? Well, let's find out right now. If you can name all these world-famous ducks, then you will win right now.
It's time to play Name That Duck. If you can name the famous duck, you have a chance to win Anaheim Duck playoff tickets.
Oh, can you name all these world-famous ducks? Well, let's find out right now.
All right,
world-famous ducks.
All right, Ralph, so we have contestants on the line. What do they need to know?
They need to identify these world-famous ducks. I will give you...
Could you be more clear?
I will give you a trivia question, and then you need to name the ducks.
All right, let's start with a student at San Antonio College. Hi, David.
Hi, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
David, here's your question. Phil, Jace, Willie, Jep, and Uncle Si are the stars of this hit reality show on A&E Network.
I've never even seen an episode.
Do you recognize
the names? Anything? Can you guess the reality show?
I got long beards.
Might have duck in the title. Nothing?
Might have.
Really? Nothing?
Might have dynasty in the title?
Duck Dynasty. You've never heard of Duck Dynasty?
Yeah, sorry, David.
I drew a blank.
That's all right.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what the hell good Mount San Antonio College is if you don't know what Duck Dynasty
back
is.
Back to the bong.
Let's not get much of an education.
Let's go to a park ranger. We've got Derek on the line.
Hey, boo-boo. Hey, Derek. Picnic biscuits.
Hey, Derek.
Yogi.
Hello. Derek, here you go. Here's your question. This cartoon character made his debut in 1934 and always wears a sailor suit, but never wears pants, except when he's swimming, of course.
Donald Duck.
Donald Duck.
Nicely
well done, Ranger.
You got tickets?
Why won't he go into the water without a swimsuit?
When he goes swimming, he wears swimming trunks. He wears a swimsuit. But in regular life, he walks around with no pants on whatsoever.
So he'll eat at a restaurant with his balls hanging out, but he won't go in the water with it.
I've never seen like there's that. He doesn't have balls.
No duck balls?
All right, so this is no drawing. He won. He's
correct.
In, right?
He's in.
Okay, he got a pair of tickets.
Going.
Let's go to Jared, who is a military recruiter. Hi, Jared.
Hey, what's up?
Hey there, here's your question. This duck was originally voiced by Gilbert Gottfried and has been hinting for us to buy this brand of insurance since 1999.
The Aflac duck.
Well done, sir.
Nicely done. You got tickets. Hold
Boom,
on.
You're going. It's just that simple.
Let's Aflac. Go to somebody Aflac. Who just graduated law school. Jessica.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Jessica.
How's the job market out there looking like for you?
It's all right. Waiting to take the California bar, you know.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Here's your question, Jessica. This is an audio clue, so you're going to have to listen carefully, okay? This awful novelty song was performed by legendary douchebag Rick Dees and inexplicably became a number one hit on the Billboard charts for 1 week in October of 1976. Here's a little piece of that song. To a party the other night. All the ladies were treating me right. Do you have any idea
disco
what
duck?
Disco
duck
is correct? Well done. I'm sorry you know that, but
I
brought that one back.
I know that.
It serves you well. You're going to see the Ducks in playoff hockey.
Congratulations,
all right,
Jessica.
So that's three pairs of tickets. We got two left, Ross.
All right, stay at home, mom. Let's go to Leslie. Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good, Leslie. Good. This 1986 George Lucas film was such a spectacular flop that the title has become a metaphor for awful movies. George produced this film in 1986.
This is the Star Wars guy, and it's the worst movie he ever made, right?
Howard the Duck!
Yes! Nicely done.
Well done. You're going to the Ducks game.
Hold on.
Very impressive.
Yeah. All right.
People know they're famous ducks.
Let's go to Lauren, who works at Disneyland. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, how's it going?
Very good.
Well, she's got an unfair advantage.
Well, we already asked the Donald question,
yeah, well,
so
she doesn't get Donald
out of luck. All right, here's your question, Lauren. This character first appeared in 1937 in a cartoon called Porky's Duck Hunt. It was voiced by the legendary Mel Blanc.
Daffy Duck.
Daffy!
Well done. Nicely done.
Despicable.
Thank you for playing the game. Everybody enjoy your hockey game tomorrow night.
So give us a call. We'll get right back to you.
Seemed like I was going to say more. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
I didn't eat too many grilled cheese sandwiches. I just had a four pack.
Hey, two pair.
How many did you eat?
I had two pair.
The sandwiches don't come in pairs.
No, they don't.
They come in half.
Hey, thanks.
You know what they call them when they're cut in half? Then they're called halves.
Half a sandwich,
four
right.
Four halves.
Thanks to the grilled cheese truck for coming by.
Sandwiches.
That's what I said.
Two pairs of
halves. Two sandwiches.
No, it's two sandwiches. Pairs of
halves. It really
just
doesn't.
Two sandwiches.
It couldn't matter less. There's no possible way.
That was a pretty sweet deal having the grilled cheese truck come by today, though.
They do remarkable work.
Heading right out to Coachella again.
Why were they not here yesterday? Why are they not here tomorrow?
Heading out to Coachella again.
Right.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to miss them.
Well, they don't cater our show, you know. They're being nice. They came by and gave us some sandwiches.
Okay. All right. Hey, Rob is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Before I beat you, let me give you something. I've got pairs of passes to the K-Rock screening of a spectacularly scary new movie called The Quiet Ones.
You are all going to die tonight.
See, the kids are quiet.
The kids go.
They're quiet because
it's the quiet ones.
Come on, Kevin.
Sorry.
Pay attention.
My bad.
It's going to happen Thursday, April the 24th at the Arclight Hollywood. And then the next day, the 25th of April, Quiet Ones is in theaters everywhere around these great United States of ours. So you want to go. I know you do. Call me now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through, we'll get a pair of passes to see The Quiet Ones, starring Jared Harris, who you loved in Mad Men, of course. And he played Moriarty opposite Robert Downey Jr.'s Sherlock Holmes in that second Holmes film. Sam Claflin from Hunger Games. Olivia Cooke, who I love. She is the nerdy. Yes. She's the nerdy girl with cystic fibrosis on Bates Motel who still is hotter than any healthy girl you've ever dated in your life. Everyone in that town on Bates Motel just smoking hot.
Supermodel. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
Anyway, great cast. Looks terrifying. I think you're going to enjoy it. So, have a good time.
We need to have her in, Ralph. She needs to be a guest on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I agree. I think
we love Bates Motel. This movie looks awesome.
She's adorable, and she's really talented. She's got a great quality about her that she doesn't seem like everybody on the CW. You know, there's a certain...
Hey, take it easy.
There's a certain...
hotness?
cookie cutter quality to a lot of these young actresses who are beautiful and they're fine, but they don't really have a quirky quality, so it makes them stand out. But Olivia's really got something about her that I find fascinating.
Yeah, she looks like a real girl that you might have a chance with.
Not you.
But you would.
No, not me. No. Not me, right. No, but not other people really. Might. Other, well,
that's
I don't look like...
You. That's how she pulls you in, because she looks sort of like you have a chance, but then you, when you look at her, you realize, no, I would never have a chance with her.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, the guys in that town also very, very attractive, too.
Yeah, so. Norman's brother, a stud... His right. mom is a MILF. Everybody's very attractive on that show.
It's the most
except for Norman,
talent.
And that's why he kills people, I think, because he's frustrated. All right, let's talk about celebrities who share too much. Star Magazine has a list of quotes from celebrities where they just overshare things we may not want to know. Like from Rihanna, for example. I like to be spanked, is her quote. Being tied up is fun.
All right.
Here's something we didn't know about Rihanna. Now we do. James Franco. I do masturbate a lot. I tend to have 4 or 5 times a day.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, of course, there's a teenage girl around.
Yeah, unless I have internet connection, I get the Instagram, right?
Jessica Simpson. I fart under the sheets, and I can belt the ABCs.
We already
Why would
that.
She tell us that?
Too much information, man.
Because she's disgusting.
She gets a lot of attention for it, I would guess.
Yeah, I suppose. This is a weird story. There's a rapper named Christbearer. He's a member of the rap group North Star. He had a bad night last night. Cut off his penis and then tried to kill himself by jumping off a second floor balcony.
Oh, boy.
Police in North Hollywood were called out when 2 other rappers found him in really bad shape on the sidewalk outside their apartment building. He was taken to Cedar Sinai Medical Center. No word on whether they were able to reattach what he consciously uncoupled from
that
his
groin.
That
isn't good for you.
Andre Johnson is his real name. They're holding him not only for medical care, but also psychiatric care, too, to see what's up.
Originally, they...
What's up?
I thought he might be part of Wu-Tang, and Wu-Tang has come out and said, no way.
No.
Has nothing to do with him.
The rap group North Star was discovered by members of Wu-Tang Clan. That's okay. The connection is that Wu-Tang gave those guys a boost up, but they're not members. Barbara Walters is retiring. The show on May the 15th will be her final, and here's how they're going to celebrate. Oh, can you imagine? They're bringing together all 11 co-hosts who ever hosted that show, The View, on stage at the same time. Can you imagine? That is,
I don't want to be in charge of that seating chart, because don't some of those ladies hate each other?
Yes.
Yes.
And they're all 11 of them on stage at one time. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, that hen house. Meredith Vieira, Star Jones, Joy Behar, Debbie Matenopoulos, Lisa Ling, Rosie O'Donnell, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, Sherry Shepherd, Jenny McCarthy, Whoopi Goldberg. And Barbara Walters all on stage for the first time.
Rosie O'Donnell and Elizabeth Hasselbeck can't have spoken since that epic meltdown day, right?
No, I can't believe
When Rosie quit the show. That has to be the end.
Yeah. And pretty good ratings for the new TV series Fargo over there on FX.
Oh, I taped it. Is it good?
It is good.
Did you watch it?
I hear great things about
it. It's got a lot of potential, and I thought the first episode was really involving and fun.
Excellent.
Pulled in over 4 million total viewers.
Excellent.
Which is pretty strong for basic cable.
Isn't our buddy Colin Hanks on that show?
He sure is.
Oh, can't wait.
Billy Bob Thornton, of course, Colin Hanks, Martin Freeman, who you know from The Hobbit. Very entertaining cast. And, so they're very happy over there with FX. So
Fargo, North Dakota, hello.
And then Larry King, of course, did a guest spot.
Today's, what the heck are you talking about?
Today's celebrity birthday. Oh, I miss William H. Macy in that role. I wish they'd done a sequel to that.
Yeah.
I don't have no Fargo sequel. You know what we get? Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
Yeah, that's happening.
That's what they're announcing today. Mrs. Doubtfire 2 is in the works. They finally worked out all the intricate plot points for Mrs. Doubtfire 2. There's a script that everybody likes now. If it involves Robin Williams putting on a dress, go keep working on it. Keep working on that script. Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm going to call it Tranny Granny.
I like it.
She's back. She's a dude. Her boobs are on fire. Ooh, I have to put out my breasts with the head of
She's a bitch.
Very angry about this film.
You have a lot of hate for a 30-year-old movie.
Well, they put it back in my face again. I was fine. I let it go.
That's true.
It was behind me. Now they're, don't poke the bear.
You can forget the man who touched you when you don't see him, but then when you run into him at the grocery store, it all comes flooding back to
you. That's right. What's that show on Showtime? What's with Liev Schreiber, the guys from Boston?
Oh,
Ray Donovan.
Ray Donovan, yeah. I'm fine until the priest is working at a parish around the corner from my gym, and I got to see him every day. Then that's when things go south.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Oh, look at you, children. I'm going to make you some dinner now because I'm your babysitter.
You're going to hate me for this, but in the day, I thought that was...
Kevin just took off his headphones. He's coming for you, Kevin.
I thought that was a pretty good movie at the time. At the time.
I'm just saying. The movie's awful on every level.
All right.
I almost took you out. Kevin was figuring out in that moment how he was going to take me out. All those steps planned. I'm going to duck under, and then I'm going to spin around. I'm going to put the arm bar on him.
I don't know if you saw, but Muggs stepped in between us.
I know.
So I was safe.
I didn't know Hulk was right behind me. He was going to put me in a naked chokehold. Today's celebrity birthday is Sean Bean.
Birthday.
Sorry, had to be done.
Sean
it's
Bean.
My candle blowing birthday.
Actor Sean Bean is 55 years old today. Maynard of Tool turns 50. Henry Ian Cusick from Lost, 47 years old, as is Liz Phair. Adam McKay is 46 years old. Redman, 44 years old. Jennifer Garner turns 42. Victoria Beckham of the Spice Girls is 40 years old. And actress Rooney Mara celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning we have the movie beat because it is Friday. We have Matt Money Smith talking about the NBA playoffs.
Communism.
We have comedian Adam Ray in studio. We have Shane West in talking about his new TV show called Salem. We have Anaheim Ducks playoff tickets. And we have Taylor Hawkins.
Yay!
What? Who, of course, is the drummer for Foo Fighters with his own band, The Birds of Satan, tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.